Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Attention, collectors of vinyl. Have you ever gone into a record store and felt overwhelmed by all the unfamiliar options? Are you frustrated by the constantly increasing prices of classic rock staples? Do you avoid streaming music or long for the days when music was recommended to you by a friend instead of an algorithm? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then check out I'd Buy That for a Dollar, a podcast about inexpensive, common, and underappreciated records that are waiting to be rediscovered. Each week, hosts Sean, Jeremy, and Peter discuss an album and the artist's history. Previous episodes include selections by the Isley Brothers, the Carpenters, the Doobie Brothers, and Donna Summer, among others. Become a bargain bin pro and impress all your friends with cool music trivia. Listen to I'd Buy That for a Dollar wherever you get your podcasts. Please consider supporting Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. You can learn more about them at bwunited.ca. They are always looking for donations and volunteers. So please, again, support Black Women United YEG for the protection and advancement of Black women and girls in Alberta. Again, that website is bwunited.ca.
Hey, this is Nicole calling from Hamilton, and I needed to let everyone know that I really proudly support Vish and Creative Control. I have for many years, I will for many more, as long as he keeps delivering these amazing interview podcasts. When you hear one of Vish's interviews, you think he's known this guest for years, they're good friends. But the truth is, he approaches every interview, whether it's sort of up-and-coming indie artists or established icons or like famous, intimidating comedians with a really deep, genuine curiosity. So he's never met this person, and the same really warm candor as though he's known them forever. I think it really lends to a great chat no matter who he's talking to. And for that reason, I think you should throw Vish, like what, $1 a month? He's got jokes. The jokes make it worth it. Support Creative Control on Patreon.
To make your flexible monthly donation to Creative Control, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol today. I'm Vish's wife, and remember, when you name a dog Janet or Timothy, you are dragging humanity down just a little bit.
Vic Berger IV and DJ Doug Pound are video editors and musicians currently based in California. Renowned for their own work and on various projects with Tim Heidecker, the pair are part of the Holy Trinity, a self-declared union with Heidecker, that get together for the hilarious and compelling weekly live streaming video and audio podcast Office Hours Live, which airs every Thursday morning. The dynamic show has yielded interesting offshoot productions, including a new album of songs called Slaps, Bops, and Bangers, which is due out on December 18th, 2020, and Drop Concert the Motion Picture, which features Vic and Doug showcasing their world-renowned drops in a live performance. Drop Concert the Motion Picture is out now. I connected with Vic and Doug recently to discuss all things Office Hours Live, their history working together and with Tim Heidecker, how they got into drops and their perspective on drop pioneer Fred Norris from The Howard Stern Show, where their work might fit in with EDM, hip-hop, and free jazz, whether or not Tim is in fact the new king of all media, future plans, and much more. A part of the Entertainment One Network with the support of listeners like you who follow and subscribe to this podcast and spread the word about it and make flexible monthly donations at patreon.com/creativecontrol and Massey Hall's concert film series live at masseyhall.com where you can stream dozens of 30-minute films for free including performances by past podcast guests like Destroyer plus in-kind support from Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. This is the 587th episode of Creative Control, featuring the lovely and talented Vic Berger IV and DJ Doug Pound, with your host, me, Vish Khanna. Hi, Vic. How's it going?
Hey, Vish. Great to be here, man.
Nice to see you again. It's been a while.
I was just thinking, like, you were the first podcast I think I ever was on back in 2015, 2016, something like that.
The very first, really?
I think so. I think it was the very first one I ever did.
Now, is that a testament? Is that any kind of testament to me, to you? What does that mean?
I don't know. I think I listened to your show and I was like, this is pretty cool. I could do this. I could pull, you know, I could, I'm kind of socially awkward and I don't like to talk a ton and, you know, be the center of attention. But like, I was like, this is cool. This guy seems friendly. You know, he's a nice guy.
Did it play out that way? Do you feel still?
I think so. I'm happy I did it. I'm happy.
It is actually among the more popular episodes I've done, so I thank you for it too, Vic. It means a
lot.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you were blowing up at the time, and then
right now we're kind of back down the bottom. So,
well, it's nice to see and talk to you again. And Doug, are you there?
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry.
Hello, Vish.
Hi, Doug. How's it going?
It's going great. I was just trying to find my
yellow
drop, which is one of my favorites.
I think maybe your radio's on or something, Doug. I'm hearing some static and sound. I don't know what's going on there, but you and I have never spoken. I've seen you perform opening for Tim and Eric in Toronto, and it means a lot to have you on the show.
Oh, well, my pleasure. So you're up in Toronto then?
No, I was. Sorry. I live in Edmonton, Alberta now. We moved in January, and then the pandemic happened, and now everything is bad. So
Edmonton, that seems colder than Toronto.
Much colder.
Yeah, even colder.
Much colder. Much colder.
It's way up north, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty north. It's among the coldest places in the world. Thanks for bringing that up. It is bad. But it's also, I'm in a place where the pandemic is particularly bad. Bad leadership. I'm sure you can relate to that.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but doesn't the cold weather kill off the virus?
No, I think the warm weather... No, it'll be gone by April because the warm weather was coming. That's what I heard. So that's what we're all bracing for. Yeah. Cold weather, it likes it. It loves it. It's really great. Anyway, it's nice to have you on the show. Now, weirdly, this is weird. As we're recording this, I was actually on your Office Hours show. That's never happened. I thought I would dial into the Zoom and then your producer and Matt there he asked me to be on. How was my appearance on Office Hours? Was it okay? Did it do all right?
I mean, yeah, your beard looked beautiful. You know, just like everyone was like jealous of that beard. I'm very jealous of that beard. I can never grow anything even close to that. You're off to a great start just by looks.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I am attractive. That's fair. Doug, were you smitten with the way I looked or the things I said?
Well, I got to say the looks drew me in. I was also very impressed and jealous of the beard. I have some stubble, but it's blonde. And, you know, I wish I had, like, the dark features that really kind of pop on camera.
Yeah, I've got a salt and pepper.
So I was, kind of like what you have going on.
Yeah, and then also, like, you know, besides the looks, you said nice things about us, so we didn't cut you off. We let you hang as long as you had nice things to say. It was cool.
No, it's great. So for those who don't know, who are listening to my show and maybe don't know what Office Hours is all about, let's begin with, ideally they would look it up. They're lazy, though. Some of my listeners are lazy. They're going to need us to explain what it is. Vic, what is Office Hours exactly?
Well, I am the last to join the crew here, but Tim, I think when he was bored, you know, 3-4 years ago, and he would just go on Facebook Live, and he just had his laptop out, and he would take phone calls or Skype calls, whatever it was at the time, from people. I remember him texting me, though, years ago. It was originally, I think, him being, you know, he had a lot of trolls coming after him, alt-right trolls, and I think it was his way of getting the trolls to call him so he could actually talk rather than on Twitter, like go back and forth online, actually talk in person, you know, on the phone. And I think that's what the origin of it, not the oranges of it. But I think that's what.
Oh, man, you're starting to talk like your leader there. What is happening?
I know. It's like that's all that's on my mind. I'm so wired, you know, that way. Oranges. I should have that drop somewhere. But there we go. But it was that, and then Tim was doing his thing, you know, very low tech, and I think he'd bring in Doug to the co-host and you know help him out, and then occasionally when I was in town, he would have me come in person and was, you know, just kind of thrown together in a way, and it had a charm to it, and people liked it, I think, and then pretty much last year, Tim was like, I think, you know, bringing you guys, you know, you and Doug together could be fun and chaotic and take it to another level. And so that's what we're doing here. And
he brought he brought me on to do, you know, drops, you know.
What happened?
I have my laptop plugged in to pepper his interviews with fans. You know, he would just talk to fans about whatever. And then Vic.
Keep the show flowing.
Yeah, Vic is a sound man, too. So he just brought us both in, and then we became the Holy Trinity.
Right.
That's right. You're the Holy Trinity. That's right. Now, Doug, your relationship with Tim Heidecker stretches back a bit further than Vic's. How do you know Tim? What is the nature of that relationship? How intimate does it get? I don't know where I'm going with this. I'm sorry. I started off on a very plain spoken thread there, and it got a little sordid. But how do you know Tim, and when did you start working together?
I answered a Craigslist ad, I think in 2004.
This is real, though, right?
Or something. Yeah, for real.
Oh.
Thank you, Tim.
And then I was an intern on Tom Goes to the Mayor, I think in 2004. Right. And then
You did a lot of the Photoshop and color, right, of that?
My job entailed just sort of documenting behind the scenes of them making their show. And then I would cut together little videos of them screwing around behind the scenes. And then, yeah, that soon led to a job on that show where I was doing Photoshop, and I was kind of doing the video editing of that. It was a cartoon, but they had certain pieces that were video based, like the Married News Team. And I would start, that's just where I met him. And then, yeah, from there, I just stayed with them working on all their shows pretty much.
Now, Vic, so Doug, you're a very world-renowned editor. Let's say that first of all. The whole world knows it. That's how I'm going
to
frame it.
Thanks and, for talking to us.
Vic, you also an editor, someone who messes with stuff, manipulates it. Was Doug and his work something that you were inspired by, first of all?
No, not at all. No, I'm kidding. He was huge. The first like internet videos, a lot of firsts today, your first podcast and first internet video. the first internet video that I was like obsessed with was something that Doug was a part of. And it was like the G.I. Joe commercials back in, I don't know, 2000 or so. Him and Eric Fensler would re-edit these G.I. Joe PSAs that were tacked on the end of each episode. And so many funny things came out of that. And my friends and I in college were just obsessed with that, and I didn't know who made it, you know, I didn't know who was behind it, but then years later I found out it was, you know, Doug had a big part of that, and Eric. But yeah, I mean, obviously there's so much that, you know, that inspired what I do, and
I didn't know exactly what I was doing, just making things. And I think that's just like, because I'm not like a trained editor or anything like that, just going by feel. And I think that's just part wired in my brain. You know, a lot of it's very, probably very similar, but hopefully not too similar to Doug.
I don't think,
you know?
So. I think, yep. You know, people like to say that or something. Mm. But I think you took, you know,
it was a, yeah,
you
it was
have
a,
your own
yeah,
style, and right. You take it to the next level of, like, as far as like re-editing found footage and stuff. I mean, you really blew it up, you know, to your own thing big time. And now I'm inspired by Vic.
Look at that.
He's got his own style and his own tricks and his own drops.
This was all just an intervention to get you two to compliment each other. That's all. I felt right. Like the mean spiritedness right. had to be put down. So I'm glad that this is happening. This might seem like a weird. I'm going to start with the drops actually. First of all, I do want to ask you about video editing a little bit, because I think, like me, you two seem like children of television. If that makes any sense, like I think television is like my surrogate parent. Because my parents would just shove me in front of the TV, and I see that aesthetic in what you do. Like, just
I do that to my kids today. Too, so carry on.
Yeah, they're on screens.
Watching.
They're on screens for sure. Well, as people may have been able to hear, if everything is working correctly, you have been inserting some drops, and drops has been invoked a couple of times. Doug, how did you get into drops, audio drops? Because we've been talking a little bit about video editing. When did the idea of drops come into play for you?
Well, I do stand-up comedy as a DJ. I call it DJ Doug Pound. And that started that's a long, kind of boring story. But basically, I was trying to be an electronic musician back when I lived in Chicago, and I kind of didn't know what I was doing. But I had a sampler. Then when I moved to L.A., I started doing some stand-up, just sort of a fun thing to try.
Yeah.
And I was like okay at both, but then one day I thought I'd just put them together and I'll have my own laugh track and stuff like that when I did stand up. That way I would like do good every time I performed, because I could have my own laugh track and have like a lot of the punchlines were just like little music clips, you know, things like that, little drops. Now I never called them drops, they were just samples, you know.
Sure.
Then a few years later, I did a show and I opened up for Neil Brennan.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I was right before him, and he said, come on stage with me, stay up here and just do sound effects while I do stand up. And then after that, that was like a fun, like little improvised moment. Then after the show, he said, I want to do a podcast and I want you to do drops for the podcast. And that's the first time I even heard the word drops. I was like, what is that?
Mm.
He's like, yeah, you just bring your sampler. And so then I did a podcast with him for a while, and I started collecting drops. And then that kind of like ran its course. And then many years later, Tim was like, you should do your drops for, which was great because I missed doing the I do my own podcast, but I kind of, it's hard to talk and also like run the soundboard. So it was great. I like being kind of like a sidekick. That way I can focus on the drops. Yeah, so that's a brief history.
It wasn't boring at all. I wasn't bored. I was enthralled. I thought that was good. Okay, thanks for explaining that. Now, you alluded to the fact that you were interested in becoming an electronic musician in Chicago. Vic, what is your relationship like with electronic music? I get the impression from my knowledge of your own musical pursuits and some of the things you satirize that maybe you're not the biggest fan. But am I incorrect? Are you a fan of electronic music?
I don't know anything about electronic music. I wish I kind of did. I like hip hop and the samples they use, but yeah, electronic and EDM stuff, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know anything.
So
can I just add one thing? Is that now I am an electronic musician? I'm just saying, back when I first started.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I
didn't mean to diminish your.
I would like to
your vocational pursuits.
I think I kind of am now because I have I'm better at it now, but. That was like I wasn't really good at it when I had this sampler laying around that was, collecting dust.
No, you're DJ Doug Pound. You're DJ Doug Pound. Everyone knows this. Everyone around the world. It's world renowned that you are DJ Doug Pound. Whoa, I'm rapping. Now, let me just say this, though, because I can't tell sometimes when I've seen Doug perform. And now that the drops are a big fixture of office hours, I can't tell if you're making fun of it. I can't tell if you're making fun of drops, if you're making fun of EDM culture. Is there some aspect of it that you're kind of making fun of or satirizing, Doug?
Yeah, when I first started doing that act, it was sort of making fun of DJ culture, like, in a way. Just all those corny drops, you know, like the air horns and the, you know, the hip-hop, like, scratches and stuff. I just, if I told a joke that was corny, I just put a bunch of mess over it, and then that kind of became what was funny. I just think sounds are funny, like...
How are you familiar with, like, hip-hop, or, culture like that, like DJ culture?
I wasn't even that.
Did you go to a lot of?
No, I wasn't even that familiar with it. I just thought. I just think sounds are funny and like all those scratches and you know the classic hip hop samples, like oh yeah, and like I don't know, just like little bits of songs are just funny, like kind of like as non sequiturs and out of context. So when I edit stuff and. When I was editing on like Tim and Eric, a lot of it was the funny parts were the sound, you know? So I've just always worked with sound as like a way to get laughs, I guess.
You know, I when I watch Office Hours or when I listen to it and I hear your drops, and I don't know if you're going to take this the wrong way or if it's been beaten to death already, but it does remind me of Fred Norris on the Howard Stern show. Either of you, Vic, are you a fan of the Howard Stern show? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I was going to bring Fred Norris up. Huge. I mean, huge influence in at least that kind of thing. I mean, I guess it was part of radio at the time, but I think he took it to a new level. And I have a friend on who works on Stern, and I recently asked him, like, could you go behind the scenes and find out what Fred uses for his drops? And he told me, and it's some like ancient thing from like the, you know, early 90s or something that he still uses. But he's like, it's just amazing how fast he is pulling up these drops. And I don't know, it's so funny. There's all these little in jokes. And when Robin starts talking, they have that one specific song, you know, and I like Doug kind of does that too. When Tim gets on his high horse and he's talking or whatever, there's a certain tone that he, you know, which one I'm talking about?
Oh, when he starts complaining.
He starts complaining and that it's like,
well,
like
I mean,
sob story.
For me, to be honest, I don't really, I'm not a Stern head at all. I've never had Sirius XM or whatever.
Yeah, I don't either. But I mean, as a kid,
back in like high school, I think I listened to him like once in a while, but I never, it's just one of those things that kind of, I never was like a Stern head. Mm-hmm. And I never knew about Fred Norris's thing until people started comparing
So,
what I did. But, like,
Also, I think like, more recent, like, Tom Sharpling has he does, like, these sound design
collage.
things that he does.
Collage.
Sound collages. Yeah. And I'm a massive fan of his and have been for years. And actually, he recently reached out to me and said, like, what do you use for drops, you know? So it's kind of weird to come, like, full circle. Yeah, he's like, what? Like,
everybody's trying to stay technologically present, at least, if not advanced.
Right.
Well, it's fascinating to me, Doug, that you aren't that familiar with the way Fred Norris works, because that's and it's also interesting that you're saying, so this is being brought to your attention now. People are hearing that influence in Office Hours. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure. I know a lot of, over the years, people have said that, and maybe I did absorb it back when Stern was on the regular terrestrial radio, and I would listen to him. You know, I would listen to him like driving to school.
You would listen to the Howard Stern show. Who was driving you to school with the Howard Stern show blasting
when you're 16?
I don't know. Whenever it was on, it was on. When it was on terrestrial radio, I heard it in the car.
Nice.
That's all I know.
I haven't heard it consistently since we didn't have it. Like, I knew of Howard Stern from like Letterman, and I bought his book I got his book from the library the day it came out. So he was like this.
I did the same thing.
I used to be rubbed the wrong way by Stern. Yeah. I thought he was like kind of mean or something. He kind of had this
Edge
to him that I thought was kind of.
Yeah, I checked out Private Parts, that his book at the time when I was way too young, you know, to read it, and I just remember reading the whole thing, just scarring me with some of the shit.
I read it.
Butt Bongo Fiesta back in the day, and thinking like, this is like,
yeah.
I feel like I'm watching porn.
Right.
I was like, he's a little too
and his fart
much.
Man thing. Yeah. Right. Like, where, yeah, it shouldn't really be that funny, but and I just remember him being on like the MTV Music Awards. And his cheeks were sticking out and flying.
Flew in from like the rafters with that and presented an award. And
yeah, like what is this? Like why is that funny? But in a weird way, that world, it works.
It does.
But
it does.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to suggest, you know, that I think that's how comedy works sometimes. I like when I hear stories like this, Doug, where you're like, I didn't listen to it, but it's become so pervasive that you don't even have to consciously listen to it. It just sort of seeps into your creative being maybe or something.
Yeah. But I think, like, Fred is, like, he's sparing with his drops. There's, you know, one every, you know, 20 minutes maybe. Like, we're doing, you know, 100 in, like, 10 minutes.
Well,
or something. So it's
we do too many.
There's way too many. And I mean, even, like, a couple of weeks ago, Tim left the show because of the drops. Oh, yeah. So, but we're all good now. But, like, yeah, it can be overwhelming to someone who's trying to have a clear train of thought and carry the show and talk to people. Yes. If we're back here, you know, and it's even tough for me. A couple times I've tried doing it, and you have chomps and you have, you know, whatever.
Let it go.
It's tough, and it's definitely got to be stressful for Tim to do that and overwhelming, but. But
he turns us down.
He does.
Like today, he turned our drops down
I think that helps.
In his mix.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going out to the listener, we're louder, but then what he's not hearing is as loud.
It's not,
so we can think straight.
Uh-huh, is there something about, so I alluded earlier to your TV viewing habits as kids, because as editors,
right.
I kind of feel like it's born of the internet or something. Like there's just a lot of like, messing with stuff, media manipulation in a lot of the work you do, you know, whether it's zooming in on something in a weird way or adding a weird sound effects, and the drop seems sort of symptomatic, or it's not symptomatic, that makes it sound like an illness, but it does seem like to exemplify that same mindset. Were you big, Doug, did you watch a lot of TV as a kid, and did you notice how things were being sort of edited together and made?
You know, I can't say I really was... I come from skateboarding, so I think a lot of the skate videos watched were kind of like the more artistic editing like influences on me.
Quick cuts,
I think.
Like really quick, fast stuff happening.
Yeah, I just remember seeing some stuff in skate videos that was like you wouldn't see on TV or something, and kind of maybe mimic, kind of drawing inspiration from that kind of stuff. But I was also influenced by like Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, that's
like
what I was going to say.
The sound design of Ren and Stimpy was like my favorite thing. So it was kind of like that.
Like
the sound of that is
sound.
Really the most, one of the bigger influences.
Yeah,
for me,
Ren and Stimpy, like that was huge for me. Like the macro view when they would cut to something extremely close, mouth, like the tongue or whatever it is.
Big time.
Yeah, that was like huge.
So do you think that, Vic, did that kind of stuff draw you to this form of, because now you're like multimedia manipulator, you know, we kind of knew you as this video guy, but do you think any of that has sort of influenced your approach to all the things you're doing now, whether it's the sonic drops or the visual editing?
Right.
Is that there?
Well, I think, I mean, because like my history is music, and that's like I thought I was going to be a musician or an engineer, and I went to college for it, and I thought that was going to be it. So even today, if I'm doing video, my focus is always on the music first, because I, you know, that's just part of who I am, and that's where I think. So that's always what I'm focusing on first. So the video stuff is kind of secondary in a way.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I think like musically,
Well, you've got rhythm as a video editor, if I might say. You know what I mean? You've got timing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm, yeah. Totally.
So there's some. I think they're related in that way. There's a drop concert movie. All of us are clamoring for live entertainment, live music, and I can't think of a better use of someone's time than watching you two perform this drop concert live. Doug, where did this drop concert concept come from?
Well, it's a little bit disputed, perhaps, but I think Tim and I both had the same idea.
You had it first, though.
But I when we, okay, after after office hours, Vic and I usually jam on the drops for a while. Like when the show is over, we kind of, we do an outro where we play our drops. We have effects. We loop. We have chaos pads, and we loop things, and we put reverb and delay, and we like make this like kind of like almost like a noise show, like soundscape.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, piece at the end of each show, and I thought it'd be cool that before the pandemic, I would book comedy nights. I would do my own show and book it. I thought it'd be cool if me and Vic kind of did just like our drops, just do like a perform. I call it a noise show just because it's kind of what it is, but just do an experimental show where we just do our drops and like jam it out for a while. And then Tim said we should do that. You guys should just, or then maybe one day we're like, what if we did an episode where it was all drops?
Yeah, yeah.
And then that, it just sort of like snowballed where it's like, let's just do one. Let's do that. We'll do a drop concert. Yeah. Tim called it drop concert. So yeah, it was just like an obvious idea that we were all kind of thinking.
I see.
Like we got to do an only drop show. So then,
yeah, then we got the nice cameras and Wes.
Yeah, then it became bigger where it's like
Tom,
we're gonna shoot it.
Yeah.
With nice cameras, we're gonna have like we're gonna set up the studio to be lit all cool, and then
there's like, you know, they have, because it's like almost an hour, and how much can you, you know, focus on each other, because like he's close up on her hands, like touching the,
we're just
the mouse,
sitting here staring, we're just, yeah, concentrating and looking at our laptops,
and that it's cool for a few minutes, I think, but then
very compelling.
And then it gets, right.
I've been to enough noise shows that. Guys, staring at a laptop.
Yeah, yeah. You need
needs a little.
You need a little something a little extra
something.
There. So that's when Tim was like, "How about this guy Ben Levin, who's this amazing animator, and he is a musician himself."
Things just sort of happen naturally. Like this guy Ben Levin got involved with the show. He made like a joke, and then he like took his performance on the show and made a whole video out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that that was like really killer what he did. So, yeah, it was just like all this homegrown kind of like thing that just sort of grew.
Nice. No, it's fantastic. It's cool. You both invoked noise there. And, you know, we've been talking about EDM and how drops are a part of that culture. But then when I think about it, this is the kind of concert film that I could see being screened at like a experimental jazz festival or something. You know what I mean? Do you feel aligned, Vic, as a musician? As a serious musician that you like, that you are, could you see this being a film that is taken so seriously that, you know, fringe art groups get behind it?
I don't know I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, I don't know if like maybe not specifically this, because it was. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to like cut down our own work, but I feel like we could maybe get there at some point. You know, I don't know. What do you? I mean, what do you think? Like,
I come from that world a bit because. When I lived in Chicago, I was friends with a lot of noise musicians, I guess, and free jazz kind of people. They were just like, I was just the friends I had. Mm-hmm. So I was around that a lot. And a lot of it I didn't really necessarily like musically. Mm. It's not really like what I would choose to enjoy when I'm trying to listen to music. But I would just go to these shows a lot. Because I thought it was compelling, you know. It's like something to, something to experience as a live.
Yeah.
You know, I used to see. There was this one guy that used to play Dry Ice. He used to like have Dry ice laying around, and he
put
like
metal on it. Or something?
He would have like tea kettles and put it on there and make squealing sounds. I just thought what they were doing. I like experimental weird stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like the kind of thing that I like the music of it, but I like. The experimentation of it. I don't know. I'm drawn to like out there kind of things. So to answer your question, I think we can fit in. We could fit into that world, even though we're not necessarily like, you know what I mean? In that scene, as far as like,
right. That's, I would feel like an imposter. That's
right.
What I was
we're kind
say.
Of an imposter, like, but like we kind of would fit.
It would work. Like, yeah.
But haven't you been sitting in an audience where someone is playing Dry Ice with tea kettles and everyone's watching it very earnestly, and you're kind of looking around like, this is hilarious. Like, I've been in those situations like, this is clearly funny.
Absolutely.
Why isn't anyone laughing at this? Like, that's where I feel like what you're doing blurs the line, because there's a whole sect of people that would say, oh, this is high art. You know, we have to take this seriously. Right. Like, we're going to start an endowment fund, like your podcasting grant that Tim keeps trying to talk about on your...
Sometimes I wonder, would it make sense outside of the Office Hours Live community? Like, because there's so many, like, in-jokes, and there's, you know, stuff poking at Tim, and there's, you know, I don't know. I'm just curious, going in.
Yeah,
you know?
I think if we performed at one of those, like, highfalutin art noise... experimental festivals, they would be like, this is what we've been waiting for.
Right.
Like, right. I do.
Or maybe some of them will hate it because we're trying to, we're kind of making fun of it.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of that, the people that like that kind of music would be like, this is, I mean, we got written up in The Wire.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
So that's cool. Yeah, exactly.
So that's exactly right. I think. Yeah.
I think they would love it.
I think there's a whole audience that wants to laugh. Like, it's a visceral thing to see something like this and experience it, and not, like, it's so weird to stifle your joy at something that's clearly joyful. That's all I'm getting at. So yeah, no, it's, I think it's funny, and I think it would go over well in such a venue.
If they invite us, we'll go.
Okay.
We'll do it.
All right. So the other interesting thing that is going on there with Office Hours is Slaps, Bops and Bangers. This is a new album, and
that's right.
And so I wonder. Let's start with Vic. Vic, what is your role, or yours and Doug's role, I suppose, in creating this album?
Well, a lot of that is stuff that grew from the show, where Tim would come up with a new segment for the show, or where it's like, for instance, City of the Day started a thing, just kind of like a talking point to check in every day. We have a new city. You know, Matt would do all the research and everything and get it prepared. And then Tim's like, we need a theme song. So one day Tim hammered out a theme song, you know, and it's pretty good. It's like very Kinksy, and it's just something that's part of the show, you know. And I think a lot of those are the segment theme.
Is Game Night on there?
Game Night's on there.
That's your song.
I wrote Game Night because we were having a game night where we're playing board games. And so there's something, you know, on there for me. And then obviously Doug's Cream Corn. What is it? Is that on there?
Yeah, we do these fake ads every week, like a fake sponsor, and it's always some jokey thing. And I wrote this bit called Creamed Pop Corn on the Cob.
Right.
And for that one, and some of the other ones, I'll make like a little, I don't know, not even a jingle. It was kind of a jingle, just like a 2-second, just every time Tim says it, he's reading an ad for Cream Popcorn on the Cob, and I just made a little thing that said Cream Popcorn on the Cob, you know, just to like keep hitting that little sample.
Yes.
And then I think it had a little beat to it. It was like a 3-second song, you know? And then somebody hit me up and said, we got to make a flexi disc out of the song. It's a hit. And I'm like, the song is 3 seconds long.
Gotta do it. Got it.
So then I took the song, I took that little loop and I built it into a, so that's how that came about. That's my only contribution.
And there's other, but it's cool. It's a chance to collaborate with other artists out there. Like, we have Nick Lutzko on there, who's a genius. Obviously, Ben Levin's on there. We got Daniel Cups. If you don't know Daniel Cuff stuff, you should check him out. Like, it's some of the craziest stuff.
That song
stuff.
Tim was making fun of the vocal style of like Pearl Jam, Creed, kind of like
that baritone thing.
Temple Pilots.
That
what do you
like
call
a baritone,
it?
Like Eddie Vedder.
It's like a jock thing.
Yeah, it's not even the baritone part. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, so Tim sang. Yeah,
Fred was on the show. Fred Armisen
Tim was just
was
screwing
on.
Around, just singing it like. Making up, they weren't even words. He was just, and then Daniel Cups took Tim's audio and made it into this like
amazing,
kind of a catchy tune.
Very
it's
good
actually
song.
Pretty good,
it's very good, and it's it sounds like a late '80s kind of hard rock song. And she's like, "How the hell did you create this from what was there?" And that's kind of been his thing that I've seen him do. It's just he does that with a lot of things. He like different like YouTube videos that are people that are just talking, and he'll take that, you know, just and create a song out of it. And it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so these songs just kind of spring out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So is this sort of begs the question, for those of us who try to keep up with Tim Heidecker and the various universes he tends to create, it's never that he's just doing a thing. A universe must emerge. There must be different aspects to the thing. Mm-hmm. Is it difficult? You both worked with him for quite some time. Doug, is it ever difficult to keep up with Tim? He's an idea man. He's always got ideas. He's always sort of suggesting, why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Innocent thing like an ad. You write a funny ad copy. It's a song. And then who knows? Maybe there'll be a music video. Like, how is it hard to keep up with him on some level?
Yes. I can't keep up with all of his, like, with the projects I work on him with, I can keep up, but like,
I have so many great ideas.
But yeah, I mean, the whole, he has another thing called On Cinema.
Oh my God.
I can't keep, I am not up to date with the entire, but that's a massive universe.
Yeah, that's, I cannot keep up with that. And that's where I like kind of
keep up with.
That's how I got to know Tim, because I was just a fan of that. And I was sending him songs based on very specific episodes, and so that's how I got to know him. But even as a massive On Cinema head, I cannot follow it all. And he's the trial is insane, you know, that he did.
Yeah, the trial. I find it's
unbelievable.
If I have to interview Tim, and I think, all right, or Greg Turkington or Vic or whoever, mm-hmm. I feel like, okay, I'm going to immerse myself, catch up on anything I've missed. And then when we're mm-hmm. talking, he'll say something, and I'm like, I don't know what that is. I can't keep up with all the references. It is really intricate. So I can only imagine. And that's, you know, I'm on the outside, but the fact that you're saying it's difficult and you're on the inside, it's almost troubling, actually.
But it's amazing. I mean, like, because Tim
it's
is
amazing,
like,
and inspiring, because Tim is, like, so prolific that he pushes me, and I'm sure Vic, too, mm-hmm. to, like, want to, like, you know, kick it out like he does.
Right.
You
know, and also then, like, Tim is on Moonbase, and he's in the movie Us, and he's got this whole other, you know,
it's like
Hollywood level. And then he's in here with Us,
like every week,
with tech issues, and we got all kinds of problems going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what the? I mean, we're looking at the, you know, the speaker from Us over here that has blood all over it. It's like insane to be doing that. And then, but yet every week, Tim is in here. But what I like about Office Hours, to me, I think it's like his most sincere thing, because there's so many levels of irony in much of what he does. But I like, this is who Tim is, I think.
You know, this is the real Tim.
This is the real Tim, and he's sweet, and he cares about people, and you know, and there's a lot of people, maybe, like, even when I first met him, I was nervous, like, what is Tim going to be like? Because he's so, you know, confrontational, and even, like, in On Cinema, his character's name is Tim. But, like,
his,
you know,
character's
just, like,
always named Tim. Like, that's why.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. So it's confusing, but, like, you can come here, and you can talk. Anybody can call in. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. You can talk to Tim, and he'll be real with you. And I think that's what's exciting about this show.
Yeah, I agree with you. I had Tim on the show. So his 2020 is going to be a Hall of Fame 2020, I would say. Like, all the stuff that you guys are working on with him, he's working on stuff. But I had him on to talk about his album, Fear of Death. And it's funny you raised this, because I asked him, like, do you feel like your musical persona, your sincere musical persona, is the closest we get to you as a person? And he actually said yes. He said, you know, like, mm-hmm. there's no irony in that. These are genuine kind of emotional expressions. But now that you mention it, it's really heartening to watch him interact with idiots like me and be, like, super patient and sweet. And it does seem, like, very family-oriented. And I think, Vic, you've said, like, this fan base for Office Hours seems particularly cool, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, and I like that it's made up of, like, a lot of artists and a lot of people that you know, have a heart and have emotional side to them, and you know, and that's like, I see myself in a lot of that, because that's where I was, you know, and I just I'm just honored to be, you know, be able to sit at this table with Doug and Tim, and it's cool. Yeah. I mean, it's very
Doug,
cool.
Do you feel honored to sit with Vic?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just making sure. I just want the honor to be spread around.
Just want to make sure. I remember the first time I met Doug, though. Tim made him come out to see me at Greg Turkington or Neil Hamburger's show. Yeah. And Doug was probably like, what the fuck is this guy doing here? Because I was in town, and we were going to play some videos at the thing, and I just remember meeting him. He's probably like, what is this asshole? Like,
no, you know? Get out of here.
But I
was already a fan of, like...
Well, I know, but you know what I'm saying, though, like, because there's so many comparisons to what you do and everything, and I remember...
It's fine because, like, I don't want to edit anymore.
Yeah, and I don't want to edit anymore either. I'm so tired of staring at screens.
Yeah.
I just want to do other things and not have screens. Let's turn this screen off.
Yeah, please don't turn me off.
I'm tired of it.
Yeah, okay.
But,
yeah.
But this is, like, where Tim is on this, like, massive Hollywood level, and they were filming Brule, Steve Brule season 3, I think it was, the episode in the diner, and he's like, just come by the set. And I was like, okay. And I was just in town, like, so scared, you know, like, my wife was there, and they stopped filming as I come in, and he had told, you know, Steve Brule about who I was. And then they sat me down at this, like, table. I'm just like, there's nobody from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Yeah, there we go. All the, like, you know, 30 people are just like, why are we stopping for this guy? And then, you know, Brule sits down. He's like, I bet you got some new videos to check out. You got anything? I was like, I got something in my car. So I went and got my laptop and showed him something I was working on, and yeah, I was like why are, you know, just like insane, like that somebody would
it does
do that. So then,
it does
yeah,
seem to be a testament to Tim that and you know, it seems to me that he's built a little group of people he works with based on your work. Like, you're just a nobody, no offense Vic, but you're a nobody in Pennsylvania.
That's true.
And
we're all nobodies.
Seriously,
or rather Tim seems particularly attuned to talent. And he seems to be a really appreciative and supportive of talent, and he wants to bring it in. And that's
right,
the
right.
sort of external perception. And it sounds like Doug is
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and we're from the same hometown too. So I think that like he's from Allentown and I'm from Bethlehem. They're just like right next to each other, these small towns. And
well,
I feel like there's some there's some kind of you know, connection there too, I think.
I'm
maybe.
A partisan.
He is a partisan. Yes, I agree. I totally agree. Doug, I know earlier I alluded to Howard Stern, who has infamously referred to himself as the king of all media. Will you go on the record now and suggest that it might in fact be Tim Heidecker who is the king of all media? What do you think, Doug?
I have wings. Right on, brothers.
People like Tim.
People like Vic.
Oh,
wow.
Thank you.
I have so many great ideas.
Yes, I think it is. Tim is taking over for Howard as the king.
Yeah,
I mean, Howard, how is he the king of all media?
He
like
he just says it.
He just says it.
Well, at the time he said it, he had his radio show, he had a TV show that got canceled.
Okay, so you're right.
True,
yeah, he had
true.
The ET.
I used to watch
show.
E. I forgot
that,
about
actually,
that.
My what I know Howard from, you know, historically most would be the E.
Yeah,
show, because I remember right. watching mm-hmm. that, and that's how I knew mostly of like his stuff.
Yeah,
like so Saturday
I think I don't think
something.
There was any drops on that. That was like,
no, that was just the interviews and
yeah.
I think there were drops on that by accident sometimes. Yeah, no, but I do. I think you're part of something fascinating and significant there, and I think you realize it too. So that is, it's just great. I'm glad you guys are working so hard, particularly during this time. We need you guys. Putting this stuff out. Although I will say,
somebody
as a parent,
acknowledge the genius here.
Sorry,
no, it's fine. I was going to go down some road that I was happy to be diverted from. I like a good drop to knock me back on course.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So I want to take a moment to ask each of you if you want to plug anything or talk about what's next for each of you, either within office hours, which I don't know how you're going to necessarily do that. Although I guess the C word, we're not going to talk about the C word. So let's. Clarify that. But if you've got anything coming up that you want to talk about and you want people to follow you, I'd love to hear about that. Vic, do you want to go first there?
Yeah, I've been, like, ever since the pandemic started, just created a couple shows, and I have something in the works for Disney that I don't know if it's ever going to happen, you know. But so possibly I'd love to be able to move ahead to TV or something like that. Get away kind of from the super internet-y stuff that I've, you know, done. But if that ever happens, if COVID ever goes, maybe that'll happen. But also, I have, you know, two albums out. You can get them on Bandcamp through Flannel Graph Records and Jared Cheek. I don't know if you know him, but he's put out a lot of cool stuff. A lot of that whole, just buy the whole catalog. And I have my YouTube channel. What else is there? And office hours. That's probably it right
and
now.
And you've got some content on your Patreon too, right?
Oh, my, yes, yes. Thank you for reminding. See, I'm such a great businessman that I forgot my Patreon. But no, the Patreon for me is just, it's like, if you like what I do and I'm, you know, putting out stuff all the time, like as I, you know, whatever's going on in my head, just a way to support me in that way, if you think it's useful.
I'm the, I only, unfortunately, just trying to be mindful of my economic situation. I only am a Patreon for one person, Vic Berger the Fourth. So I hope.
Wow, that's very sweet of you. Thank you.
That's
an honor.
I sounded both selfish and unselfish at the same time, didn't I? Only one.
No, you're making me blush. Yes.
I should hopefully, spread it around.
Content, you know. Yeah. Did you get the Vic Faceholes t-shirt?
No, I don't believe I did. No.
I'll have to make that happen. Oh. I'll make that happen.
Maybe I'm not at the
it's
right...
caught up in Canadian customs.
Yeah. That's all right. Exactly. It costs a little extra to get up there. I don't know if I can pull it off.
Doug, same question. Do you want to plug anything? I know you've got a show, a podcast, anything you want to talk about?
Sure. I got a few things similar to Vic. I have... The Poundcast, which is my podcast I do with Brent Weinbach. There's a Patreon for that. I have my own Patreon for Doug Pound. I have a YouTube channel where you can see... I do make, you know, videos from not as many as Vic, but various little videos that I make that I put on there. Follow me on Instagram. What else is going on? I did sell a TV show, but then that right before COVID happened, so I don't know if that's ever going to happen. So yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat with that kind of stuff.
Sound busy.
Just check out my YouTube channel. You can watch Google. my various web series is Two Wet Crew, Pound House. That's on a different channel.
Yeah. What is that on now? Is that Jash?
That's been on Jash. Yeah, but if anyone's not seen that,
can you stream it anywhere? Can you stream it on?
There you go. It's on like Amazon or something.
Holy shit!
Okay, all right. So people,
yeah. I'm going to pull it down because I don't get a dime. I'm going to pull a Chappelle on it.
We all got to take our stances. Yeah, I agree. That's a good call.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If we want to direct people to the Drop Concert film or the new album, which is out December 18th. Does one of you know where to send people for that? Vic, I'm going to you.
I believe it's dropconcert.com. Is that correct? And dropconcert.com. And I highly recommend getting this new wallet that has like a credit card looking thing. The art is beautiful by Marika. Marika Jacintha. We're probably bungling that, but it's beautiful. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, I see it.
But it looks very nice. Yeah. And it has, it's like a USB kind of thing and has all of the Drop Concert stuff there. It's even got some drops on it. And it's just a fun thing. It's a way to support it and help us, you know, make more things like this.
As far as the album?
The album.
How do we get the album?
The Bandcamp?
The new one? Which one?
Yeah, you got to pre-order it on Bandcamp. The Blops and Boops.
Slops and Bops and Bangers, I believe.
Slops and Bops and Bangers.
Slaps.
But if you, follow the Office Hours Live Bandcamp, and you can get everything there. There's even the Drops Giving. That's fun. There's just a lot of fun there.
I'll mention one other thing. I do have music that's out on Bandcamp and Spotify, iTunes, all that. DJ Doug Pound, look it up. And I think there might be a new one coming out like tomorrow.
Whoa, he thinks tomorrow. Yeah.
I forget what I do.
Shouldn't you be the one who knows when your music is coming out, Doug?
I don't want to bother anyone.
Yeah, right.
It's like,
right.
The people that know it will find it and enjoy it, but I don't want to push it on anyone. Yeah. I don't want to bother
Don't
you.
Feel like you have to buy it.
Okay, well, this was the...
it's genius, though, and it's amazing, and it's probably a 10 out of 10. So
this was the part of the show where I was hoping you would bother people and share your stuff. But no, I understand. As you may recall, when I was on Office Hours Today, I felt sheepish plugging this show. I was like, they'll figure it out. People will find stuff if they really want it, and so I understand where you're coming from. If we can go out on a song from Slaps, Bops, and Bangers, I'm wondering if one of you or both of you, by consensus, can select one for us to feature on the podcast. Vic, do you want to take the lead on this?
I was gonna suggest Doug's team.
I want to hear game night.
All right, let's do game. All right.
Do we have that? Do you want us to play? No, I can drop it.
I can do my own drop. I'll drop it. I'll do a drop and play it for people right now if you want. By the way, Vic, I will say I was playing. I wasn't kidding earlier when I was on the show. I had it playing in the living room, and game night perked my six-year-old daughter's ears up a little bit. Oh,
wow. Because
she's always begging us for movie night and game night, and we say, yeah, okay, we have time. So I think...
There you go. Now you have a song for it.
Is it age appropriate for a six-year-old? Yeah.
Oh, totally, okay. Totally. Yeah, it's like no cursing.
Popcorn and the Cob is a rap song, and there is a swear word, but it's kind of a children's song. I do kind of make children's music, actually.
Yeah, right.
I would concur. Kids. I concur with that, Doug.
Music
for
kids
sure.
That they should not hear.
All right, this is a game night from Slaps, Bops, and Bangers by the Office Hours crew. Doug, Vic, this was a tremendous pleasure. I hope you had a good time, and I wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thank you, Vish.
Thank you, Vish. Let's do it again.
Game night. It's gonna be fun playing games all through the night. We're having game night. Come on, everyone, settle down. Watch us play games.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's very nice to have Doug and Vic on this, the 587th episode of Creative Control, which is part of the Entertainment One podcast network and available wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Google, Spotify, wherever it is, the show should be there. If you can't find an episode that you've heard about, or you know, like when Vic was on, we were talking about that on the show. Vic was on the show, I don't have it at the, should I look it up for you? Do you want me to look? Here, I can do it real quick. Anyway, like sometimes because of the way these podcast feeds work, not everything that you want to find is available. They have like limitations on how far back it'll go. So yeah, the odds are probably good. Here it is. I found it. Episode 284, Vic Berger, October 19th, 2016. There's a chance some of your neighborhood podcast feeds won't have episodes going that far back. So you'll have to go and find them. And you know where I found it? On my website. That's what I was going to tell you about. So, my website is vishkana.com. Every episode of the show that has ever been made is there. You can also go there to learn more about me and sign up for my monthly newsletter. So again, everything you need, vishkana.com. Real-time research there for you. Also, you can like Creative Control on Facebook or follow the show on Twitter at Vish Creative. You can also follow me on Twitter at Vish Khanna, and on Instagram as well. I'm on Instagram at Vish Khanna. It's the same on Twitter, so there you go. Also, please visit patreon.com/creativecontrol to make a flexible monthly donation to sustain this podcast. Any donation that you can afford is helpful for me and appreciated by me. So thank you for considering that. If you are interested, $6 or more a month grants you access to exclusive audio content from my archives. I just posted something the other day, an old interview I did with Guy Picciotto of Fugazi about Rites of Spring, actually. So that is up there now. $6 or more, you get access to like the 10 or 12 episodes that are up there now. I try to put an exclusive thing up at least once a month. And so, but again, doesn't have to be $6, whatever you can afford. It could be more, could be less. Patreon.com/creativecontrol to make your flexible monthly donation to my show today. Thanks again to liveatmasseyhall.com, where you can watch beautifully captured concerts by great Canadian artists. Also, for their in-kind support, Pizza Trocadero, The Bookshelf, and Planet Bean Coffee in Guelph, and Granddad's Donuts in Hamilton. Also, my friend Jim Guthrie. Jim is a pal of mine, and he lends me music for this show. You can learn more about Jim at jimguthrie.org. Also, Jim's trying to become big on TikTok. You know, he's doing good stuff on the TikTok. He's trying to figure it out, and he's had some fun things, so I'm just going to plug Jim's TikTok. I don't know what it is. It's probably just Jim Guthrie or something, but yeah, go for that. Anyway, that's pretty much all I have to say. Thanks to you for listening to this episode with Vic and Doug. I hope you enjoyed it, and that you'll check out Office Hours and the Drop Concert movie and Slaps, Bops, and Bangers. Office Hours is unstoppable. There's so much stuff going on. It's a fantastic show to watch live and to experience later on YouTube or on your podcast thing there. So thanks for listening to this. I hope you enjoyed it and that you'll subscribe to this show perhaps, or tell your friends about it and check out other episodes of it. That would be great. And that's all I can maybe hope for. So thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Be well. Bye for now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.